Today, the government's Find the Pea budget trick. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, not his post covering finance and probably news. Well, as expected, Treasurer Jim Chalmers wants you to believe that the budget is getting better and Labour's claimed spending restraint is helping the Reserve Bank of Australia contain inflation pressures. But this is all spin. Spin Jim is at it again. Well, the federal government's mid-year budget update shows a modest improvement in the deficit forecast in the year 25 to 26. Much of this comes from a larger-than-forecast tax take, so you're paying for it. And a deeper dive into the numbers tells, well, a very different story. The update, known as the Mid-Year Economic and Fiscal Outlook, the MIEFO, estimates a deficit for the year 25-26 of $37 billion, or 1.3% of gross domestic product. This is down from the $42 billion forecast in the March 2025 federal budget and the pre-election Economic and Fiscal Outlook, the PFO, issued before the May election. The drivers of the $5 billion improvement in the bottom line is actually largely outside government control, higher global commodity prices, and a higher income tax take. That's due to a stronger jobs market and higher wages growth than previously forecast. The Australian government's gross debt is still projected to exceed $1 trillion for the first time now by the middle of 2027. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers described the update as being, quote, all about delivery, responsibility and restraint. And he said that the mid-year budget update, which was, of course, released on Wednesday, makes the budget stronger. And he pointed to their underlying cash deficit improving by the $5 billion. But this is due to another surge in tax revenue from workers, companies, investors, and superannuation members, as well as some savings that Labour are using to offset the new spending. But adding in the below-the-line so-called off-budget spending, the total headline cash deficit over 4 years adds up to $237.1 billion. That's a tad worse than the $236.7 billion in Labour's pre-election budget in March. Headline cash deficits of more than $50 billion every year are projected indefinitely through to as last as 28 to 2029. Those total deficits include under-the-radar spending, such as the extra $9 billion in concessional loans for community housing and farmers in the budget update on Wednesday, on top of more than $20 billion annually for various investments such as for the NBN, Clean Energy Finance Corporation and Snowy Hydro. But zooming out to the bigger picture, nominal spending is rising by a hefty 8.2% or 4.5% in real inflation discounted terms this financial year to $786 billion. After surging by 8% or 5.5% real, that's after inflation, in the election year. So we're supposed to believe spending will virtually flatline to meet Chalmers' claim of average real spending growth of just 1.7% over the 7 years to 2028-29, including just, wait for it, 0.3% next year. The track record of the past 2 years suggests this is not only ambitious, but it's completely fanciful. It's, frankly, spin. Now, as the conversation explains, MIEFO is required by the Charter of Budget Honesty Act 1998 to be tabled in Parliament by the end of January. In recent years, it's been mostly released in the middle of December. Now, the document can merely be seen as a technical update of the estimates for economic changes, or it is also potentially an opportunity for policy announcements to reset the government's budget plans. Well, I think the 2025 MIEFO is a bit of a mix of both. It includes numerous policy measures, though most confirm announcements already made at or soon after the election. Actually, there was very little new here. Parameter changes such as increase in tax revenue are far bigger than all of the policy changes combined. And with spending pressures increasing, restraint in some areas is needed, given what Finance Minister Katie Gallagher referred to as significant spending pressures. Those include, well, natural disaster relief, an additional $6.3 billion over 4 years of forward estimates, higher than expected uptake of the cheaper home batteries program, was increased payments by $4.9 billion. We'll come back to that shortly. The age pension up $3 billion over 4 years, reflecting increasing numbers of pensioners. This revision is puzzling, actually, because numbers should have been predictable at budget time. Defence Force superannuation benefits up $2.1 billion, largely reflecting a revised valuation of the government's superannuation liabilities and a range of other increases over the 4 years of forward estimates, including in veterans' entitlements, childcare subsidies, non-government schools, and carers. Now, it's worth noting that it doesn't include, but it probably come, additional spending in response to the Bondi terrorism shooting incident and its tragic loss of life. Spending pressures outlined in the last budget in health, the NDIS, public debt interest, and defence continues ad infinitum. Hence, my querying as whether they can really get to 0.3% real spend this year. It's not going to happen. And it's also worth noting the CSIRO is set to receive an additional $233 million, which will be directed to priorities such as AI, quantum sensing, robotics, critical minerals, climate change adaption, and resilience, agricultural productivity, and biosecurity. The list goes on, blah, blah, blah. Tight budgets have led to serious concerns over cuts to CSIRO staff, and so this additional funding will, to an extent, help offset those earlier concerns. Investment in areas such as climate resilience may take time to pay off, but as shown by the massive increase in disaster payments in this budget update, they're very much needed. And Chalmers confirmed the government will not be extending electricity bill rebates. They will end in December as planned. And you could say that this is a bold measure, given opinion polls show 65% of people surveyed supported extending them yet again. But of course, that just blurs the question of inflation and kicks the can down the road, as we saw. And of course, the RBA referred to this recently as one of the reasons why rates will have to be higher ahead. There have been further cuts in public service use of contractors and in areas such as travel and hospitality. And there are some specific cuts, for example, in climate change, but there are no signs of reported but unconfirmed 5% savings for public service departments. I wonder why that is. Shifting spending back from one bucket to another, Chalmers actually claims the federal government's $20 billion in savings in the mid-year meant it, quote, has now delivered $114 billion in savings and reappropriations since coming into office. Now, while this is technically true, reprioritization does not help the budget balance. It shifts spending from one bucket to another. Of course, it's the P trick. Move it from one place to another so you can't see it. It's a good thing if new purposes meet Australia's needs more efficiently, possibly, but it does not deliver net savings. It's spin. The Australian Financial Review is highly critical of Chalmers' claims, actually. After more than 3.5 years, comparisons with the previous coalition government's fiscal record are wearing thin, they said. And Chalmers said the government had kept average real spending growth to around half the 30-year average, but that average includes the large amount of spending during the COVID year, so you need to strip that out. Spin. Once again, Treasury also updated the economic forecast from the budget. They lifted their forecast for inflation during the 2025-2026 from 3%, which was in the budget, to, wait for it, 3.75% in the mid-year update. Now, this is very similar now to the Reserve Bank, but it is 0.5% higher than the forecast growth in wages. So the cost of living will remain an issue, which is a big deal. Inflation is forecast to drop back to 2.75% in 2026-27, which is back within the Reserve Bank's 2-3% target band. And that's less than the expected increase in wages that year. But of course, we know that this is highly unlikely to land. They keep kicking it out down the road. Real GDP is forecast to grow by 2.25% in the year 25-26 and 26-27. That's just above the rate the Reserve Bank believes the economy can sustain without putting upward pressure on inflation. Unemployment is forecast to be around 4.5% in the middle of 2026 and the middle of 2027. And total annual spending is now forecast to be the highest since the 1980s at 26.9% of GDP, and it remains near those levels, excluding the pandemic stimulus under the Morrison coalition government. As John Kehoe at the AFR underscores, the spin is being laid on so thick that the Treasurer has managed to turn a massive $4.9 billion cost blowout on home battery subsidies into a claimed $6.7 billion saving. It is sleight of hand. Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen's battery subsidies are costing far more than expected due to their popularity, but the claimed saving comes from new rules to prevent the programme blowing out even further to a potential $14 billion. Chalmers says good progress is being made on the National Disability Insurance Scheme, but the mid-year budget review update revealed NDIS spending is $2.3 billion higher than forecast over 4 years and more than $50 billion a year each. Plus, there is the $522 million being spent to bail out smelting and refinery facilities, including Glencore's Mount Isa copper smelter and Townsville Refinery in Queensland, the Whyalla Steelworks in South Australia, and Nystar's Hobart and Port Pirie facilities. And let's not forget the 29% cost blowout to $1.3 billion a year for fringe benefit tax exemptions for electric vehicle drivers, and a surge in mental health compensation claims for public servants. So in short, this update contains no big surprises at one level, but also there are no significant changes to improve the budget bottom line or significant tax reform to make the economy more efficient and more equitable for generations. And so the spin is well up to 11, and the results will be higher interest rates next year. Chalmers says the budget update reduces debt. It is true that there has been a 12-month delay in gross debt crossing over the $1 trillion mark, but gross debt is still set to increase in the years ahead and will hover around 36% of GDP. Debt is relatively moderate by international standards, but almost double a decade ago, and is hugely costly to serve, especially with the higher bond rates that we're seeing at the moment. ANP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said, the government needs to further rein in spending and put in place measurable fiscal rules to make its fiscal strategy clearer. Well, I certainly agree with that. But the truth is, this is quite deliberate spin from Spin Jim. And unfortunately, a lot of the mainstream is not seeing through it as they should. This is not good. This means higher interest rates for longer, higher inflation for longer, and an economy less and less able to prosper into the future. Of course, migration is the next question. Tomorrow we get the data on that. And so I wonder whether we will see a significant reduction, or whether, as expected, migration is also going to continue to bubble higher. If so, that helps to explain the projected tax take ahead as well, of course, because more people mean paying more taxes. But this is all showing us that the economy is badly broken, and those in charge of it, well, they're frankly irresponsible. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.